You're listening to the Relationships Made Easy podcast. This is episode 80.
You are listening to the Relationships Made Easy podcast with Dr. Abby Metcalf. Change your relationship even if your partner won't do a thing.
Hey everyone, Dr. Abby Metcalf here on the Relationships Made Easy podcast. I'm so happy to be here as always. One of my favorite parts of my work life is when I do the podcast. It's great. I love being here with you. And I can't believe we're at number 80. Wow, been at this a while. So today is something you've asked for. There's a Jilly J from North Dakota. I did not know I had listeners in North Dakota. So thank you, Jilly J. And she wrote in a really lovely note to me about how much the podcast has helped her and her boyfriend, and they both listened to it. And just thank you for saying that. And she asked about some tips for giving feedback, and I said that I would have it here. And here it is. When you guys ask for things, I generally do it. Sometimes it takes me a while, and sometimes I change the name, so you might not always recognize it, but I really do. I love when you guys ask for things, you know, specific things. I just love it. It lets me know that I'm really on track with what I'm sharing. So again, that I'm not just chatting with myself here. And so thank you for that. And the 8 rules for giving great feedback is coming at you today via Jilly J from North Dakota. I was realizing the other day, I haven't been to North Dakota. I've been to a lot of the states and I don't think I've done North Dakota. So there you go. I got to get on that. My bestie Rhonda did 50 states by 50. That was her big goal, to get to all 50 states before she turned 50. And she did it, which is really cool. So I'm going to have to follow in her footsteps at some point and get myself to North Dakota. And as with every week, I like to remind you or give a little ask, because we're in a relationship. Did you know you and I in a relationship? Yes, we are. And so I do my podcast and then I ask sometimes. And so what I would really, really like you to do, if you haven't yet, please subscribe to the podcast. And if you'd be so kind to take the one extra step from just clicking on the subscribe button to also leave a review wherever you listen, please leave a review of the podcast. It's so helpful. It helps other people find me. And, let's be a top 10 relationship podcast. I'm down. I'm ready, people. Okay. So let's get to it. I'm going to start with what I've said a ton of times by now, which is don't sack your relationship, right? Don't sack your relationship. You should know this by now. Don't make suggestions. That's the S. Don't offer advice. That's the A. And don't criticize. That's the C. Sack, S-A-C. Don't sack your relationship. I actually talked about this on the Martha Quinn show here the San Francisco area. She has a radio show, I Heart 80s. And she used to be one of the original MTV VJs, and she loved this one. She was really cute about it. If you're listening to Martha, there you go. So what happens though, when I tell people don't sack your relationship, don't make suggestions, offer advice, or criticize, what happens is the reaction I get is what, you know, so I can never tell my partner anything I'd like done differently? What? So I can't tell my mother, my coworker, insert person who is annoying you here, anything? I can't ever let them know when I'm unhappy with something? So my first answer is, yeah, no, you can't. No, my first answer is, well, yeah, you can definitely say things you'd like them to work on, or you'd like to see different. Sorry, not that you'd like them to work on, that you'd like to see different. But there are some definite guidelines you'll need to follow if you want that person to actually listen and gasp, maybe even make the changes you're asking for. And if you've ever had these conversations with your partner, let's say your partner, but it could be anybody, but with your partner where you're asking for something and they don't do it, and you ask again and they don't do it, and you ask again and they don't do it, and you ask again, don't isn't there somewhere in there where you finally go, okay, I'm doing it wrong? Instead, you know, we look at our partners and go, they're doing it wrong. You know, hey, they're not doing these things I asked. I keep asking them, they don't give it to me. I keep telling them I want this different and they don't do it. And here's the deal. If you were at a job, okay, you're at a job and you were asking Mike in accounting to do a certain thing for you over and over, kept asking Mike. And, you know, over and over, and Mike didn't do it, you wouldn't just keep asking. You would do something else, and you needed whatever Mike in accounting had for your job. You would figure it out. So, and some of you are listening going, well, I just go complain to my boss. No, you wouldn't. Or maybe you would, but let's say you do and your boss doesn't do anything. What do? You have a job to do. You have to get this done. And generally, even if you did go to your boss would say, well, why don't you talk to Mike differently? Or have you tried this with Mike? Or have you tried that with Mike? They'll usually put it back on you if they're a good boss, and they'll make you go back and do it better or differently. And that's the key to all this. So much of this is on you to do it differently. Don't look to your partner to do it differently. You do it differently. If you don't like what's going on, you need to look at the way you're asking, or the way you're probably, what you're doing is not asking, but telling. And that's part of the problem right there. So I do want to say to keep any suggestions to a minimum anyway. So again, don't sack, you know, really do a minimum. But so unless it's a really big deal, you know, let it go or come about it differently. But, you know, so I don't know, if your man's leaving dirty socks on the floor, again, hire a cleaning person. If your father is chewing with his mouth open when he eats, look the other way, or make him soup when he comes to your house for dinner. That it's harder to eat it with your mouth open with soup. Don't die on every hill. Choose your battles wisely. This is about you, again, not your partner or the other person. If there's a bigger thing, so, you know, if you just found out your fiance charged $10,000 on the credit card for, you know, your wedding without telling you, that's a bigger thing. You got to have a chat. But there's a lot of little crap that could definitely go. So, but no matter what, if you want a great outcome, if you want to actually grow together from this outcome, then you want to stick to these parameters. So these are my top 8 tips, guidelines. I think guidelines is probably rules for how to give this feedback if there's something going on that you don't like. Okay, so let's get to it. Number one, first things first, the focus should not be on changing the other person. I know. Right away, you're like, but that's the point. They need to change their behavior. Nope. Instead, you want to focus on coming to a solution together. So one of the things I say over and over is that you are not on opposite teams, right? This is, you know, if you haven't seen my TED Talk yet, you really want to see that. I'll link to it in the show notes. It's really, you could also look it up online. Abby Metcalf, PhD, The Real Reason Relationships Fail. But anyway, but I digress. You're the same team, guys. You're the same team. So if you're doing this opposing thing that they have to change, then you're making it a them problem. Okay. You're saying, I'm right, you're wrong, you have to change. Instead, I want you to approach it that you're not looking for them to change. You're looking to figure out a solution so that you both can be happier, both of you, moving forward. There's a reason that they're not doing whatever it is that you asked, or there's a reason that they did do something that you now find horrifying. Whatever it is, you need to figure it out. So, you know, how to move forward. And you're not going to move forward by just telling them that they're wrong and they need to do it different. It just isn't as effective. So you want to think about how you're coming together to a better solution. And one of the things I talk about a lot is get rid of the idea of compromise or negotiation. A compromise sucks. What happens with compromises is everybody thinks they gave more than the other person. every single time. When you compromise with your partner or at work or wherever, you feel like you lost out, that they got something more than you did. Everybody does this. That's why compromises suck. Those negotiations, you know, coming to middle ground or whatever that crap is, it's crap. It's crap. Instead, I want you to think of, instead of a straight line between the two of you, you know, where you meet in the middle, I want you to think of a triangle. I want you to think of a symbol of a triangle. And you're both at those lower corners and you're looking up towards that top for a solution that's above, that's beyond, that's outside of the two of you. And that's where the magic happens. That's where the great stuff is. So it's, again, a we problem. Both of us together, we're going towards this higher solution. So the focus is not on changing the other person, or on controlling them, on getting them to see your side, on manipulating them. It's not on any of that. It's on this greater understanding. And it actually brings us to number two, which I'm not sure which one should really probably number two should be number one. Because first and foremost, before you do anything else, is you have to set an intention first before you give feedback. It goes with one. I guess either of these could come first, because both of these are things you're doing before you sit with the person. Okay. Set an intention first to be kind, to problem solve together, there has to be some intention there first that you set, that you're clear about. It should be something along those lines. So, and this is before you give any feedback, before you even sit down, make sure you're doing it for the right reasons. What's your end game here? How, my most important question, how do you want your partner, let's say it's your partner, to feel at the end of this conversation? And how do you want to feel at the end of this conversation? Those are really, that will drive your intention, I promise. How do you want the other person to feel? So if you're just really mad that your partner did something you don't like, you need to think for a minute. Do you want them to feel as crappy as you do? That's a lose-lose. That's not going to get you anywhere. Do you want them to walk away really angry at you? Well, the way you were about to talk to them, they are. So good luck with that. Do you want them? Do you see what I'm saying? You should think of that first and realize that, wow, I was really angry about this thing, but really I'm really hurt. I feel so hurt. And so I want to connect with my partner again. I feel so disconnected from them. I feel like they don't understand me. I feel like we're not on the same page, that I can't trust them. I want to have trust again. I want to build. I want to feel emotionally close. So set that intention. And when you bring that into the conversation, wow, you're going to go very different places. That triangle I just talked about, not a problem. Boy, you're going to sail to that wonderful solution that's not even something you could think about right now. That's above where the two of you are in a wonderful way. That's a forward trajectory in your relationship. But you've got to set that intention first. Really think about what you're trying to get out of this. So some sort of loving intention needs to happen before you open your mouth. One of my clients says he thinks in his head about how much he loves his partner. And that his goal always, he'll sit there and he'll think about how much he loves this person, how much they mean to him. And then he sets this intention. He has like a goal, he just calls it a goal, but that they both feel clear and satisfied after the discussion. I love that. Both of you feel clear, both of you feel satisfied. That's great. It doesn't have to be all lovey-gooey, whatever, but that's a lovely thing to think. And he's setting all this loving intention by thinking about how much he loves his partner. So this will help your tone and the words you use, absolutely. So never be scolding. Don't be condescending, for sure. Don't be mean. As you might have already noticed, keeping this theme, she might have seen, is so important, because really, if you just do these two things, you're set up for good stuff, right? If you do nothing else, I'm about to tell you, you're set up for good stuff. So I'm sure you can see here that's sort of a natural, right? It's a natural pacing into the right direction just by focusing on not changing them, you know, the focusing on just changing the two of you, coming to this higher solution, And then setting this loving intention, this kind intention, this connecting intention of some sort. Okay. That's one and two. So number three, third rule for giving great feedback. Be very careful of your timing. Watch your timing. That's your third rule, is to watch your timing. You can, I say a lot, you can say whatever you want to say, just not when you want to say it. And I don't know if you can say whatever you want to say, but I kind of say that to get your attention. You can almost never give feedback in the moment, I have found. Almost never. It's really rare to be able to just do it right there in a romantic relationship. Work can feel different, but there's a lot of feelings sometimes that come up in romance. So, often, depending on the heat of the situation, people are just too reactive, they're defensive, they're angry when something has, you know, just happened. So often, just waiting until the timing is better, you know, after sex, after food, after a good night's sleep, you'll get dramatically better results. If you're anything like me, you're bad at asking for help, like weirdly bad at it. I've been a busy gal for a long time now. Kids, partner, my own business, all the things that make for a full life these days. And my instinct always was to just white knuckle it and do it all myself. But I say it on this show all the time. Ask for help. You don't have to do it all. And meanwhile, there I was doing it all. And I finally changed all that, from my podcast editor to the person who got 10 years of photos off my phone and into albums I actually look at. I found amazing people to help me on Upwork, and I've been using them for the last 8 years. And you don't need a business for any of this, any project, any size, planning an event, sorting out something at home, finally handling the thing on your list you keep avoiding. Upwork lets you find, hire, and pay expert freelancers all in one place. With Business Plus, you can access the top 1% of talent on Upwork, and with AI-powered shortlisting, you'll get matched to the right freelancer in under 6 hours. No endless searching required. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready to help you and your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com. As I've shared before, in my experience, there's no better time to get great results than after oral sex. I'm just saying. really, it puts everybody in a good mood. But you know what I mean? Like really thinking about your timing. And I have people all the time that go, argue into the night. This is one of the worst things to do. You really want to get a good night's sleep. If you've been arguing for hours, it's too long. If you've been talking about something or, you know, trying to have some conversation for that long, it's not going to happen in the moment. You both need a good night's sleep. You both need to get something to eat. You got to stop. I've talked before about halt. Never get too, HALT, H-A-L-T, stands for never get too hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. It's something we say a lot in the 12 steps. Never get too hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. And folks are often all of those, all of them, when they're having these kinds of dialogues, when they want to give feedback to their partners. No, you shouldn't even be one of those when you're giving the feedback. Certainly don't be all four. So your timing is super important. It really is. And for sure, in that heat of the moment, you know, your partner comes home from work in a bad mood and is slamming things around. That's not the time for feedback. You're not going to have a good outcome. Yet people do it all the time. Why are you yelling now? Well, how come you're mad? What's going on? It's like, stop. Just, it's your own anxiety that's up. You're not in a loving space. You're not thinking of how much you love them. You're not even trying to really come to a resolution. You just want them to stop acting that way because you're uncomfortable. That's not really loving. This is the person you love. If they need to get something out, you know, I mean, obviously, if they're violent towards you, it's a different thing. That's not what we're talking about here. That is not what's happening in the vast majority of your relationships. I'm talking about the usual. If you really are that uncomfortable, you're allowed to leave the room. You don't have to. You could say, oh, I'm going to go do some quick errands or grocery shopping or something. You could do something else. You can go play with the kids. You can go walk the dog. There's things to do. So you're not trapped. But I'm just saying, don't get too caught up in that, right? So just let it go for a little bit and you can come back to it. So be very careful of your timing is my third rule. All right. Rule number four, again, one of our more important ones, is to be in the here and now. You got, how much do I talk about this? You're sick of it. I don't care. I don't care. You got to do it. I do care. I love you. Be in the here and now and self-aware when you have your talk. You have to be in the moment. So this is the mindfulness that I preach and preach. This is the, you know, being right in that moment all the time. The other person is resistant, angry, frustrated, defensive. That's how you know they're resistant. Okay. Dismissive, rolling their eyes, any of those things. You're not in the here and now. This isn't good. You're not going to have a productive conversation, and there's no reason to continue. So that's why it's so important to be in the moment and not ignore that. Really notice your own reactions to those kinds of things. If any of these attitudes show up, you want to switch your tone. You want to think about your words, maybe again, your timing, maybe not do it right in that moment. Because the goal is to be heard, right? The goal is for the two of you to problem solve and to come to some higher resolution, higher solution. So if they're angry, frustrated, defensive, you know, dismissive, they're not listening. They're not hearing you. They're not listening anyway. So why continue to talk? It's a waste of everyone's time. So really, when you're in the here and now, you'll notice. I want you in the here and now also because I want you to notice how you're doing. Are you anxious? Is your chest tight? Ooh, is my stomach feeling rumbly because I'm nervous about this? You know, am I noticing that I'm feeling sort of defensive, that I have these other feelings coming up that aren't how I want to be right now? Am I still feeling loving? And am I still feeling my intention? Is that really front and center? My patience? You know, you have to be in the moment or you will forget every good tool I've ever taught you. You will not remember. So you have to be present. You have to be aware of what's going on in your body, in your mind, what thoughts you're having, what emotions are coming up so that you can respond with those. And sometimes when we're in those conversations, to say the truth, wow, you know, I'm feeling really nervous about this. I'm having a hard time. I've been avoiding this conversation. You know, I'm really struggling. I'm afraid. You're allowed to say these things. And it really helps. You know, when you're vulnerable, the other person will be vulnerable. That's usually what happens. The other person will soften. They'll want to move towards you. It's when you're coming at them with the anger and the defensiveness and the righteousness and the rightness and the whateverness that folks back up and become defensive themselves. So really, again, really set this tone. All right. Number five, make sure that you both agree on definitions and meanings regarding what you're talking about. I mentioned this in, might have been last week's podcast or a couple before. People often do not have the same definition of stuff. Is cheating different? Some people think that, you know, if I was friends with, I have someone I'm thinking of right now, this gentleman who had women on Facebook or Instagram, that he was following who were, you know, sort of sexy strippers or something. You know, they're pretty obvious what they were about. But, you know, he liked their pictures and he liked to look at them and he was following them on Instagram. He wasn't interacting with them. He was not like making comments or trying to be friends or anything, but he was following these women. And his fiance found out and she noticed and she flipped the lid. She's like, this is not appropriate. You can't be with these women, blah, blah, blah. But to her, it was cheating. To her, it was this other thing. To him, it was not remotely cheating, you know, and you can see how this got into a thing. Their definitions were different. I had another couple a while ago and he had a somewhat of drinking and drug problem. It definitely was a big issue. And so we're in session and I said, and we're all talking and he had agreed to not drink and so, or do drugs, but this is about the drinking, right? And so I said, oh, have you been drinking? I checked in about it. He goes, no, I have not. And she looked like so incredulous. She goes, yes, you have. And he was really adamant. He goes, no, I have not. I don't, what, when? And sure enough, he had been drinking, but he used to drink like copious amounts of alcohol when he drank. When he drank, he would always get really buzzed or drunk. So to him, it wasn't drinking when he just had a drink. So he was coming home and having like a beer, sometimes two. But to him, that wasn't drinking. It really wasn't. It was not drinking to him. He was doing it right in front of her. So it wasn't like he wasn't sneaking it because he thought it wasn't drinking. He thought it was keeping with the agreement we had made. So there you go. I mean, I was shocked. I was floored, but I could tell that that's what he thought. So things that you might think, I mean, come on, don't drink, be completely abstinent. And he said yes. And then he was drinking. How is this not clear? And I hear people say it all the time. I'm so clear. I was very clear. I couldn't have been more clear. Well, guess what? No matter how clear you are, here I am. I have no baggage with this guy. I actually really like this guy. I have zero baggage. I have zero issues. He seems to like me too. This wasn't him being passive aggressive. This was him really thinking this was true. And he was sort of laughing. He goes, wow, if I thought it was, you know, I wasn't trying to hide it because I really thought I was doing what you asked. And we all sort of got a little chuckle out of it. And once I really talked about it, he got it, but he really didn't that first time around. So I know people come in, they go, he knows, she understands, she's just doing it anyway. He knows and he doesn't care. It is not true that what you always think is a fact and is so obvious and is clear is the same to the other person. So when you're giving feedback, if you come from that place, you're going to get into trouble because the other person immediately, your partner immediately is going to go, I didn't mean that. That's not what I said. That's not what I agreed to or whatever. And the fight becomes about that, some minuscule part of an agreement, as opposed to the bigger issue of you not feeling loved or supported or like you're number one or a priority or whatever, or being heard. It becomes about the little minutiae and you become lawyers, like lawyering the contract as opposed to the spirit of the contract, which is really what you want to talk about. So be specific. Find out for sure. Like I'm trying to think, you know, what did you hear me say? Or what do you think debt means? Again, you might be very surprised by the answers. what do you think it means to be a saver? What do you think it means to be a spender? Whatever. Just get on the same page and really ask the questions to make sure you're talking about the same thing. Okay. Guideline number six is don't say never or always when speaking to another person, period. Period. End of story. Just get out of that habit. It's a habit. I see people in it all the time. And first of all, it's not true. If you say something to your partner like, you never listen to me, your partner is going to shut you off right away because they know they do listen and probably often to you. So if you say you always forget to take out the garbage, they're going to think of the two times they didn't forget, even though it was only two out of the last 50. And they're going to think of those two and they're going to discount you immediately. We often say those kinds of words thinking, well, they understand what I mean, you know, most of the time. You need to really be specific and clear. So you have to say what's true and what you really mean. So instead of saying, what did I just say before? Oh, that you never listened to me. Okay, you never listen. You might say, I don't feel like you're understanding how important this is to me. Can you repeat back what you heard me saying? Can you tell me what you heard me saying? When you do that, you're actually opening up the conversation and you're making sure you guys are on the same page. You need to say what's real. Okay, what's real? All right, I'm not going to beat that horse too much, but I can't even say it enough. Please try to notice, be mindful, be in the here and now and be mindful. Number four, how often you use the never or always language, that kind of really, you know, generalizing language, and you'll see it's pretty often and it really needs to stop. Okay. I'm laughing because the next one is no lecturing. And I was just lecturing you. So, hey, we're not in love. I'm kind of in love with you, but you know, we don't live together. So no lecturing. And this doesn't work with your kids either, by the way. I've tried it, trust me, over and over. It doesn't work. But remember, loving acceptance, even when you want to rip your partner a new one, loving acceptance, loving, we're loving. If you can't remember that, think of how you feel when someone lectures you. You hate it. You hate it so much. Nobody likes being lectured to. And you know, you've got to, again, if you're in the here and now, when you're having these conversations, you'll notice that you're rambling and chatting and talking and saying it again and again, and then repeating yourself and then repeating the repeating and going and going. Do you see the problem? So no lecturing. If you are, you know, are you listening or are you resentful and waiting for them to shut the hell up, right? Think of that when someone lectures you. That's you. You're not usually listening. You're feeling resentful and you're waiting for them to shut up. So you start to daydream. You start to think of all the things you're going to say. So you want to really keep your answers and requests short and to the point. That you really want to do that when you're giving feedback. It needs to be short and to the point, not on and on and on. So whatever it is, really try to think about it beforehand if you can. Really, like, if it's important enough, maybe even do a little role play with yourself in the mirror, something so that you can be clear on what you're saying. No need to repeat it. Put it out there and then see what they say, right? Just one time. You don't have to justify forever or go on and on. All right. So don't lecture. And number eight, my last one is, remember, it's a dialogue. So if it's not a lecture, if you're not lecturing, that means it's a dialogue. It's supposed to go back and forth. It's supposed to go back and forth. So it's not just you talking at them and saying what you want or whatever and them going, okay, and walking away. That's not how it works. So if it's a dialogue, a few things should be there. One, I've mentioned this before, I'm going to mention it again, ask permission first, before you ever give feedback, before ever. My New York can come out now. You need to ask permission, which means that you might say, hey, is this a good time to talk about X? Or, hey, do you have about a half hour? I really want to talk about what happened the other day. Or, are you open to some feedback about what you said yesterday? Are you open to some feedback about that? And any of those things, any of these questions, number one, when you ask a question, you use a different part of your brain, and so do they, to answer it, which is good. It gets us out of defensive mode. Number two, you have to wait for a response. Don't just say, hey, I'd like to give you some feedback about yesterday because you were really a jerk and da-da-da-da-da. No, baby. No, baby. Slow your roll. So ask the question, get a response. And then if you're only asking, you know, are you open to some feedback about yesterday's conversation? You then have to ask another question. Is now a good time? Or do you want to do this later or tomorrow morning or whatever? You know, give them the opportunity because you really want to give some control to the other person so they feel like they're coming to this conversation on equal footing. Because if you both feel like you're on equal footing, you will get way farther in solutions and problem solving than you will if it feels like you're, you know, mommy coming to scold, you know, your child, or if your daddy come to scold your child. That it doesn't work that way, and the power structure gets off and things get screwy. And then the other piece of this, of course, which I talk about all the time because it works so well, is that you gotta ask questions. You cannot, in this kind of dialogue, it can't just be you making statements about whatever happened that you didn't like. If your fiance did put $10,000 on the credit card for the wedding without asking you, you should be asking some questions about that. If you just go in there scolding, what the hell were you thinking? Oh my God, this is crazy. How could you? What were you buying? Oh, I hate it all. Not going to go anywhere. But if you have that if you set that intention of loving kindness, if you really think about what you want as the outcome, that this doesn't happen again, that you figure out if you can return some things or whatever, then you're going to come at it really differently. And hopefully your real goal is to find out what their motivation was. Where did that come from? A lot of times people make choices that seem obvious that they shouldn't make, yet they do. So you have to ask yourself, am I marrying a lunatic? You're probably not. You might be, but you're probably not. So if you're not, then why did they make that choice? Why did they make that decision? Really ask yourself, really try to go there, and then ask them. So, and you can say, I have to admit, I'm feeling really frustrated, but I want to know, but you know, I want to have this conversation from a loving place. What was your thinking? Not what were you thinking, but what was your thinking or what were you feeling? You know, how did that come about that the $10,000 happened? Walk me through it, right? Tell me more about X. You know, that kind of stuff. These questions are these open-ended questions that are meant to elicit conversation, that are meant to invite. I want you to think of that all the time. And that's a good intention to set, that you want to invite them into a dialogue. You want to invite the other person to share and to go deep and to really be honest and open. They're not going to be honest and open if they think they're in trouble and that you're just going to clobber them with the information. So, or they're not going to be as open and honest as you want. So really think about, how are you asking things? What are you asking? And how do you keep the dialogue moving towards that problem-solving final solution? Okay, so there you have it. Those are my 8 rules, guidelines for giving great feedback that will be well-received. I have a list of questions to help you along the way. There are a list of collaborative questions that I've created that you can download for free at the website, abbymetcalf.com/podcast. This is episode 80, and you can download the questions, and it really, to me, they just really help. I still use them, this list, because it's sometimes I'll forget in the moment what I could be asking. I'm like, what other question could I ask? And then I'll look at this and it'll give me all these examples of questions I can ask, which really helps move the conversation forward. So there you have it. That's it for today. I am Dr. Abby Metcalf. I'm so happy you're here with me. What a great way for me to spend my time, and hopefully you too, but I love spending this time with you. Have an awesome week, and we'll talk real soon.
Thanks for listening to the Relationships Made Easy podcast at www.abbymetcalf.com.